I'm Dan Hughes in the Old Time Radio Corner. In John Dunning's Encyclopedia of Old Time Radio, the Spike Jonze Show is described in two words, musical madness. And that pretty much tells the story. Spike Jonze began as a standard musician, but somewhere along the line he got bored playing the same old music the same old way. So he started wearing outrageous clothes and writing outrageous song parodies and bringing in band instruments never heard before in this universe. He was the first to use a gun as a musical instrument, and members of his band played not only cowbells and foghorns, they also turned kitchen utensils into instruments. They used instruments that weren't heard before in orchestras, banjos and anvils, and a stringed toilet seat called the latrinophone. Spike Jonze became famous for his anti-Hitler spoof, Der Führer's Face, in 1942, and his radio show was on the air under various names from 1945 to 1949. The episode you're going to hear right now featured a rather unusual radio guest star, Lassie. From May 28, 1949, here's the Spike Jonze Show.
Coca-Cola presents the Spike Jonze Show with Spike and the City Slickers, including Doodles Weavers, Professor Fiedelbaum, George Rock, Dick and Freddie Morgan, Sir Frederick Gass, Jack Golly, Dr. Horatio Q. Birdbath, and visiting Spike Jonze in person, the wonder dog of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Pictures, Lassie. And now, here are Spike Jonze and the City Slickers.
What's the matter, Mr. Jonze?
What's the matter? You're late.
But, Mr. Jonze, I'm only 7 minutes late. You could have waited for me.
Why, you're not Rita Hayworth. Now go home and pour perfume in your swimming pool, huh?
Running wild, lost control. Running wild, mighty bold. Feeling gay. Reckless too, carefree mind all the time, never blue. Always going, don't know where, always showing. I don't care, don't love nobody, it ain't worthwhile. All alone, running wild.
Thank you, music lovers. Tonight, as usual, we have three experts from my orchestra seated at our musical round table to discuss the finer points of Schubert's Unfinished Symphony. This is a wonderful piece of music whose main theme you will recognize as... That's the finished part. Now, for the first time anywhere, the entire orchestra will play the unfinished part.
Well,
Now, have any of you gentlemen anything to say on the subject? How about you, Dr. Richard Morgan?
I love Schubert.
Oh, good.
I love raspberry Schubert, pineapple Schubert, lemon Schubert.
Dr. Morgan, that's not Schubert, that's Sherbert.
Of course, Sherbert. He's the fellow who wrote the Unfinished Symphony.
That's right, Franz Sherbert. Do you know anything about his music?
Yes. In the Third Symphony, one movement is Allegro Vivace, and the other is Allegro con moto.
Well, what's the difference?
With the Allegro con moto, you get a side order of meatballs.
Dr. Morgan, you're about the most stupid man I've ever met.
Oh, you called me nasty names. You've hurt my feelings.
Oh, calm down.
You've insulted me. You made a fool out of me.
I'm sorry. Take it easy.
You made people think I don't know anything, that I'm a dope.
So, Dr. Morgan, I'm sorry. I'll do anything to make it up to you. Anything.
Anything?
Anything.
Can I have a dime for a plate of raspberry Schubert?
I'll go pick your banjo, Dr. Morgan. Our next expert is Sir Frederick Gass. Sir Frederick, what do you think of Schubert?
Mr. Jones, my opinion of the entire matter can be summed up in one word.
And what's that?
What's what?
The one word.
What one word?
The one word that sums up the entire matter.
All right, let's hear it.
I don't know what it is.
That's six words.
Sir Frederick, why do you think Schubert never finished his Unfinished Symphony?
The answer is very simple. Schubert discovered that there were 88 notes on the piano, and he used more than 700 notes in the second and third bar of each... you can't put the... And not only that, when he came to the last part of the first movement, he discovered that the first part of the second movement had the same part as the middle. You can't have two middles. the real reason, now here it is. The real reason was that he had scored the adagio passages for flute and piccolo, while the timpani was to play the violin part. Yeah, anyway, I get it. And it was to sound like an oboe. By that time, the brass section sounded like... Oh, you can't say that on here. he ran out of ink.
Thank you, Sir Frederick Gass. We won't detain you any longer. I know you have to run over to the Hollywood Bowl, which I understand they're going to put on your head and give you a haircut. If you folks can stand it, we still have one more expert to hear from. He is our little child prodigy, Georgie Rock. Georgie, where are you?
Here I am, Mr. Jones, here.
Georgie, you look very... Georgie, why did you kiss me? You do that every time you see me.
Well, I'm too young to go out with girls.
Georgie, I started to say that you look very nice tonight. What kind of a suit is that you're wearing?
A Lord Fauntleroy suit.
Well, what makes it bulge so?
Lord Fauntleroy is still in it.
Oh, Georgie, you're such a cute little... But now let's get to our musical question. Why do you think Schubert didn't finish his symphony?
For the very same reason my daddy didn't finish his symphony.
What's that?
The finance company took away the piano.
Well, that concludes our musical roundtable session. If you'd like to ask our experts any questions on music, then you're crazier than our experts. Now we turn to...
Spike, oh, Spike!
Professor Fiedelbach. Professor, what song are you going to sing for us?
I'm through singing. I will never sing another song on this program.
Hooray!
Well, Well, let's not be sad about it.
Professor, if you don't sing, what are you going to do?
Well, Spike, remember last week I sold a minute I normally use for my song to a sponsor for a commercial?
Yes.
I've done it again.
But, Professor, you can't keep selling to other sponsors. The Coca-Cola Company is going to get wise.
How long have you been on the air?
2 years.
If they haven't got wise by now, they never will.
Logical. Let's hear your commercial, Professor.
Rather. Friends, have you ever smoked a Pootwaddle cigarette? Pootwaddles contain less nicotine than all the other leading brands. That's because they contain less tobacco than all the other leading brands. In recent unbiased laboratory tests by eminent throat specialists, it was found that Pootwaddles smoke more doctors than any other cigarette. Try the Pootwaddle 30-day test. Smoke Pootwaddles for 30 days, and before you know it, a month will have passed. At tobacco auctions, some manufacturers buy the lighter, the finer, the naturally milder leaves. Other manufacturers buy only the choicest tobacco. Pootwaddle is the only manufacturer that buys what's left on the warehouse floor. Mr. P.L. of New York used to cough like this. After smoking only one Pootwaddle, he stopped coughing. Shall we observe a moment of silence for Mr. P.L.? Get a pack of Pootwaddles today. Open the pack. Take off the cellophane. Throw away the pack. Light the cellophane. You can't ask for a better smoke. And remember Pootwaddle's famous jingle. Am I in voice? Light a Pootwaddle in your pocket. Watch it burn a hole in your coat. If it burns the cloth and lining, imagine what it would do to your throat.
Thank you, Professor. And now here is Michael Roy speaking for the Coca-Cola Company.
Wherever you do a day's work, whether it's in an office, a factory, a shop, or at home, you'll find it makes sense to pause and relax once in a while. Make that pause refreshing. Have a delicious, ice-cold Coca-Cola. For Coke brings the pause that refreshes. Anytime, anywhere.
Say, Michael, have you seen Bing Crosby's new picture, Connecticut Yankee?
You mean the one where he dreams about the days when knighthood was in flower?
Yeah. Well, here's the City Slickers version, entitled Knighthood Goes to Pot.
I dreamt I dwelt in King Arthur's court, but how I got there was a great mystery. I made a journey to King Arthur's court and turned back the pages of history.
Well, here I am in the 5th century. I wonder what adventure's in store for me. Here comes a knight in armor. He's not so dumb. He's using his visor to pop his bubble gum. That sure is a snappy suit of armor you've got.
I'm the sharpest dresser in Camelot.
Who makes your suits, my modest man?
Hart, Schaffner, and American Cam.
Why are you so fidgety, oh noble knight?
I sent my armor to the laundry last night. It came back without buttons, and it made me frown.
Don't look now, but your drawbridge is down.
Who art thou? Speak up, I warn you.
I'm a Connecticut Yankee from California.
California, where it always rains?
Not anymore. There's been a big change. Did you hear about the christening and why it was done?
No.
California finally had a little son.
I'm Sir Lancelot. You're a dirty spy. You're my prisoner and you're gonna die. You were sent by Crosby. I can tell by your hair.
I didn't come to praise Bing. I came to bury Fitzgerald.
I'm sorry, Yankee. It's either your head or we'll feed you to the dragon instead.
Well, before that happens, for you, I've got news. I'll blow out my brains. I got nothing to lose.
Now we find the Yankee and Sir Lancelot approaching the drawbridge to Camelot.
This drawbridge looks kind of weak to me. Do you think it'll hold us?
Yay, verily. Why, I carried my wife across safe and sound. My dear little wife weighs 500 pounds.
500 pounds? I can't believe your lips. How did you do it?
I made 2 trips.
Well, to me, that drawbridge looks pretty beat. Let's jump across. It's only 6 feet.
But this suit of armor is heavy as can be.
Don't let it worry you. Just watch me. Here I go. it's your turn. Be careful, don't fall.
Here I come, Sudabarber and all. Don't just stand there, you big galoot. Get a cat opener. Help me out of this suit.
I'm King Arthur, you're at my command. I rule this land with an iron hand. See my round table and my knights over there?
Your table may be round, but your knights look square.
Here comes my most famous knight our way. Tell us, old knight, what have you got to say?
A little bird, he told me that you love me. And I believe that little bird.
After hearing that voice, all that I can say, you've turned Evelyn Knight into Dennis Day. King Arthur, I've heard quite a lot about all your wealth here in Camelot. I guess you must be rolling in dough, but tell me, are you happy?
Yes and no. You see, my wife is a greedy one.
She been hitting you for money?
No, just for fun. But my subjects respect my royalty. When I walk in a room, they get down on their knees.
Down on their knees?
Yes, they shout my name. What a tribute. What an honor.
What a crap game.
Dimples, dimples, get my balls.
Things look sad for the Connecticut Yankee. We'd shed a few tears if we had a hanky. We find him in the dungeon. His hopes are sagging. He's about to be fed to the ferocious dragon.
Don't feed me to that dragon or I'll scream and shout. I can't stand that fire shooting out of his mouth.
That fire shooting out is the way he greets you.
Well, at least he cooks you before he eats you.
Now, I want you to know that this dragon of mine will obey my commands at any time. Just listen to him snort when I give him an order. Snort.
He's a pretty short snorter.
Before he eats you, have you anything to say?
Is this the last dragon in the world today?
Yes, it is. All the rest have all died out.
Then there's something I'd like to ask you about. Do I get a last supper before I die?
Anything you wish.
I'll have a dragon on rye. Thank you. Our next guest is one of Hollywood's favorite stars. You've seen her in such MGM pictures as Lassie Comes Home and The Son of Lassie. Now here she is in person, the wonder dog herself, Lassie. Well, so you're Lassie. Gee, I'd know you anywhere with that long snout and that shaggy coat, those pointed ears.
But Spike, I'm Lassie's trainer.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Weatherwax. You should have taken off your muzzle before you came in the studio. This must be Lassie. Hello, Lassie. Isn't that cute? Lassie! Lassie, give me your paw. Gee, she's got a strong grip. Mr. Weatherwax, Lassie seems like a very smart dog. Did you have much trouble training her?
Well, very little. She has a natural intelligence. She's not what you'd call a trick dog. She's just like any household pet.
She's really intelligent, huh?
Yes, go on, ask her some questions.
Well, let's see now. Lassie, who's the President of the United States? Amazing. Lassie, who discovered America? This is incredible. Lassie, who invented the electric light? No, the electric light, not the sewing machine. Mr. Weatherwax, is this Lassie's first appearance on the radio?
Oh, no, she has her own program every week for Red Heart Dog Food.
Lassie, please, no commercials. How'd you get her to come over here to my show?
Well, she listens to it every week.
She listens to my radio program? How is that possible?
Well, she's been inoculated against his temper.
Lassie, now that you're here and you see the fellas in my band, what do you think? What'd she say?
She said, finally, she feels like Lassie's come home.
She sounded like Von Monroe there for a minute. Real music lover. Well, Lassie, I hope that you like music, because now the City Slickers and our soprano, Miss Eileen Gallagher, are going to do the famous Il Bacio. What's the matter? Doesn't she like Il Bacio?
Yes, but she wants to sing it with you.
Lassie singing Il Bacio? It'll probably come out Il Barcio. No, I'm afraid that's not possible. What'd she say that time?
She said, either you let her sing in the opera, or she'll bury you in the backyard with the rest of her bones.
Okay. I gotta put some more weight. Maybe I don't. Ladies and gentlemen. All right. What was it? Ladies and gentlemen, Il Barcio with Eileen Gallagher and Lassie.
This is Michael Roy speaking for the Coca-Cola Company, saying, whoever you are, whatever you do, wherever you may be, when you think of refreshment, think of Coca-Cola. For Coca-Cola makes any pause the pause that refreshes. And ice-cold Coca-Cola is everywhere. And now here's Spike Jones.
Next week, we're going to have as our guest one of Hollywood's brightest new stars, Dan Daly. But now, how about you, Lassie? You going to pay us another visit? Well, what'd she say?
Well, why didn't you treat her well?
Huh?
She said no.
She said what?
She said no.
She said no? Why? Didn't we treat her too well?
Yes.
Rudd, don't read everything on that page. Huh? You're doing great, Rudd. What did she say?
No.
She said no. Why, didn't we treat her well?
Yes, before she came on this program, she didn't have any fleas.
Oh, next time we'll get triggers. So long, dog lovers. I mean, music lovers. Thank you.
Lassie appeared by arrangement with Metro Golden Mayer, producers of the Technicolor musical The Barclays of Broadway, starring Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers, and Oscar Levant. Don't forget to tune in again next week at this same time when the Coca-Cola Company again presents The Spike Jonze Show. And Spike will have Dan Daly as his guest. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Someone sharing a delight, chat, this and that, and cocktails for two, as we enjoy a cigarette, to some exquisite chansonnette. Two hands are sure to slyly meet beneath a serviette, with cocktails for two. My head may go reeling, but my heart will be obedient, with intoxicating kisses for the principal ingredient. Most any afternoon at 5, we'll be so glad we're both alive. Then maybe fortune will complete the plan that all began with cocktails for two.
Spike Jones and Cocktails for Two. Before that, the May 28, 1949 episode of The Spike Jones Show, featuring special guest star Lassie. Thanks for listening, and if there are old-time radio programs you remember and would like to hear again, or if you just want to talk about old radio, drop me a note at Dan, D-A-N, at radiofun.info. Dan at radiofun.info. In the old-time radio corner, I'm Dan Hughes.